Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of JB Pharma. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza, Executive Vice President, JB Pharma. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Welcome to the earnings call of JB Pharma. We have with us today Nikhil Chopra, CEO and Whole-Time Director, Kunal Khanna, President Operations, and Lakshay Kataria, Chief Financial Officer at JB Chemicals & Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the Q1 FY24 investor presentation that has been sent to you earlier. I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Nikhil Chopra to begin the proceedings of the call for his opening comments, after which Mr. Lakshay Kataria will address the financial highlights. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jason, and a warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us on the first quarter call to discuss JB Pharma's performance. I will begin with the operating and strategic highlights and will be followed by our CFO, Mr. Lakshay Kataria. He will be sharing the financial highlights and his thoughts on the performance. Subsequently to our comments, the forum will be open for the questions, and we'll be glad to address those. Dear friends, quarter one has marked continuation of the trends set in the previous year. Growth across both domestic and international businesses has been good. To share some numbers, in quarter one, we reported a revenue of 896 crores, marking a growth of 14%. The key aspect being that we crossed a milestone of 400 crores in quarterly run rate in the international operations at 407 crores, growing at 11% year-over-year. This followed good traction in our CDMO business. Domestic business delivered 17% growth to touch INR 489 crores on the back of impressive growth in the acquired and chronic portfolio, where most of these brands have completed one full year as a part of now JB portfolio. On the chronic side, JB continues to outpace the chronic IPM by a wide margin. Certain parts of acute portfolio saw weaker seasonal demand buildup. Turning the discussion to our branded portfolio, we have made good gains in the track brands, which you would have seen in our investor presentation. As per IQVIA MAT June 2023, JB showed a growth of 20.7%, contrasting with the 10.6% in the Indian pharma market growth. Our biggest brands have grown even bigger. We are pleased at how the market has responded to Azmarda, our heart failure pill, where we had reduced the prices by 50% in December 2022 before the loss of exclusivity. The team has been particular about the life cycle management of existing products while successively introducing new offerings. Our task is simple: to make these star brands even bigger, and this is visibly working both in our own as well as acquired portfolio. The recent acquisition, that is Rosuvastatin portfolio, is gaining good traction, and its monthly sales have jumped from a monthly average of 5.5 crore in the year FY22, that is prior to us acquiring that brand, to 6.7 crore in June 2023 as per IQVIA. Our portfolio in cardiac is complete, with every product registering a good performance. At this juncture, I must say the acute segment has witnessed several challenges due to late monsoon. While the acute business performance was moderate during the quarter, we hope the uptake will increase in the second quarter. Moving on to our international business, we have seen healthy numbers. Our international formulations have grown at 12% to INR 275 crores. The strong growth came in CDMO, which has been continued, and business has achieved close to 20% growth in the quarter. However, we will need to closely watch the upcoming winter season, as that will drive the secondary demand probably for quarter three and quarter four. The prevailing geopolitical issues continue to cast uncertainty in the markets, that we operate translating into impacted demand in some of the cases and currency devaluation in some of the markets. The silver lining here is that logistics and freight costs have stabilized and we have witnessed some benefits on margins on that account. Operating margins have improved for the quarter on account of better business mix, increased efficiency in sourcing and higher volumes. The South Africa business is going through a transformation. We have made choices with respect to certain product portfolio in public businesses. This is impacting growth in our international formulation business as overall. Our endeavor remains to drive India as well as CDMO business combined to contribute 75 to 80% to our revenues, which we have been talking previously in our conference call. Both these businesses give us high returns and operate at good margins, which overall helps us to reinvest in the business. The path forward is predicted on driving our core strategies in both domestic as well as international markets. Domestic will see a thrust on big brands and active product management, whereas a sharp focus on CDMO business and scale up in our ROW market will be the highlights in our international operations. As we grow, we are making sure that cost savings are put on priority wherever possible so that we are more resilient to operating challenging environment. With this, I will hand over to Lakshya Kataria to walk through in detail about our financial performance for the quarter. Over to you, Lakshya.
Thank you, Nikhil. A very good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call. I will now take you through the financial highlights of quarter 1 FY24. Revenues for the quarter were at 896 crores, representing an increase of 14% year-on-year. The domestic to international business mix was at 55 to 45% respectively. The domestic business achieved revenues of 489 crores with a growth of 17%. As Nikhil mentioned, acquired brands performed well and continue to deliver healthy returns. The international business demonstrated 11% year-on-year growth, generating revenues of 407 crores. This was driven by the CDMO business, which grew by 19% year-on-year, and the international formulation business, improving by 12% year-on-year. Reduction in logistics and freight costs have positively impacted our operating margins for this business. We do see some softness on the ruble and ZAR from a currency perspective, which has impacted our reported performance for the quarter. Gross margins for the quarter stood at 65.4%, expanding 270 bps from last year's same quarter. In the quarter, our operating EBITDA, excluding ESOP cost, was at 243 crores, reflecting a 28% year-on-year growth. The margins were at 27.1%, an expansion of 290 bps as compared to 24.2% in the same quarter last year. On the expenses side, the total employee costs, including ESOPs, increased by 11% to 149 crores. Employee cost as percentage to sales improved to 16.6% from 17.1%, reflecting operational efficiency. Non-cash ESOP cost was at 5% of the reported EBITDA versus 10% year-on-year. Our other expenses increased by 11% to 205 crores and as percentage to sales improved by about 100 bps. Depreciation included an amortization charge of 14 crores on account of acquired brands. Profit after tax was at 142 crores, which increased 35% year-on-year. We continue to focus on working capital efficiency and cash generation from the business. Happy to report that our net debt as of 30th June came down to 102 crores from 266 crores in the prior quarter of 31st March 2023. While our operating margins have improved significantly in Q1 FY24, we reiterate our guidance for operating margins between 25 to 27%. On the balance sheet side, we continue to focus on managing our working capital efficiently and improving our ROCE. Our operating cash flow continues to remain healthy and we expect to become cash positive in FY23-24. As we continue on this journey of growth and transformation, we remain confident on a positive outlook through opportunities for the company and providing value to all our stakeholders. That concludes my opening remarks, and I now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jivani from IFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the CMO business, have we been able to add any new customers or new product technologies which we have talked about in the past? And what is the outlook for this business for the rest of the year, given that you indicated that we need to watch out for how the winter season plays out?
So as we have been talking, Rahul, in terms of about whether product or partner, it's work in progress. We'll be able to add more color probably in coming quarter. There are some developments which have happened. And as I spoke earlier, we have healthy order book for quarter two. September, probably mid-September, we'll be able to at least get some inputs from our partners in terms of how the winter season is setting in. That is where we stand. Yeah. Also, what we are trying to do, that we are looking at, with the same partners, newer geographies we are trying to get in. That has happened, which is overall helping us. If you look at in terms of what we have demonstrated overall in quarter one, close to 120 crore delivery. So that was the initial phase which we were working with the existing partners, new geographies, for the portfolio that we have. That has helped us, and that is helping us for quarter two. But new products, new partners, still I think we'll be able to add more color probably next three to four months. Yeah.
Sure. And are you disclosing these new geographies which you have been able to add? So are these Southeast Asian markets largely?
Sorry, are we?
On the
sorry to interrupt you. Rahul, sorry to interrupt you. Can I request you to speak through the handset, please?
Yes, sir. So, sir, I was asking regarding these new geographies which you have been able to add. Are you disclosing the names of these geographies?
Rahul, we cannot disclose specific geographies. It's confidential information, but it's part of the regions which we already predominantly operate in.
Sure, sir. And then on the domestic business, our traction on the acquired portfolio has been good. So can you quantify in terms of how the trends have been with respect to Azmarda? Because in last quarter, you had indicated that we had seen 25% higher volumes as compared to pre-expiry volumes. So how are the volume trends sustaining on Azmarda? And what has led to this strong growth in Razel as well?
So on the Azmarda front, post-LOE, immediately there was a ramp-up in the volumes, and this ramp-up was seen in the overall RDE market and, for our product as well. Having said that, the market is also stabilizing a bit right now, and, one cannot expect that the sequential growth of 20-25% month-on-month will continue. But our overall thesis on the overall market opportunity attractiveness and our play of, having an established brand like Azmarda continues. The market is very, very attractive. RDE adoption across cardiologists and physicians is seeing a massive uptake, and we continue to be extremely bullish on this particular segment.
And on Razel, what you are asking is overall the we are able, the focus is more on adding the prescribers, because overall when you see the fabric of the brand, it was more physician prescribed product when it was with our from the company we bought. We are trying, we being a company close to cardiologist, we are looking at how do we get more and more cardiologist prescribers for rosuvastatin combination. So that work is in progress, and we are more focusing on secondary demand, generating more prescriptions, and that is what Rahul we have been doing for more and more number of portfolio, and we are confident of at least growing this brand at double digit as compared to the brand has been going, has been flat on growth for last 3 years CAGR. That is where we stand from a Razel portfolio.
Sure, sir. So double digit growth on this brand versus flat growth over past 3 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure, sir. And last question before I come back in the queue, sir. Our API business sales were sluggish this quarter, so there was a 40% YOY decline. So anything to call out for in terms of what led to muted sales on the API business?
Nothing much. It's just postponement of some orders with one of our key customers. As a business also, we have traditionally seen that H2 tends to be much, much higher. We will be kind of ensuring that we cover up major part of, the muted trend which we saw in Q1 over second half of the year.
Okay, sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sriram from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sriram, sorry, but there is a lot of static noise coming from the line.
Is it better now?
No, sir. It's still the same.
Go ahead and ask your question, Sriram.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so one question on the gross margin. I mean, it has seen decent improvement this quarter, of course, because of the raw material cost softening and all. So how should we look at this number going forward? I mean, is it likely to sustain or may improve further from here on?
So we will pretty much be closer to the range of 65 to 66, right? That's, the number we're looking at for the year. And basically, this is the improvement that you're seeing in margins is coming on account of, three drivers. One is, the business mix, given, the performance in Chronic, the focus on private market in South Africa, that's driving the margins healthier. Second, we have driven sourcing initiatives on Azmada and rest parts of our portfolio. So that's contributing to gross margin. And third, inflation is a little bit soft. So that's also helping us from a perspective of gross margin. And I think we should be able to be in the range of 65 to 66.
Okay, got it. So, sir, then any reason to maintain the guidance of 25 to 27% EBITDA margin? Because assuming that gross margin remains around 65 to 66% and our endeavors have been to increase the chronic contribution as well as in the South Africa market also to focus on the private market. And we are trending higher than the range as of now. Can there be positive surprise to that, or how should we look at that?
See, overall, the guidance that we have been given and what we could see this quarter is one of the best quarter that we could deliver mid-teens growth and EBITDA margin close to 27%. Now, that is why we are giving a range. With gross margin, we are fortunate at all the three aspects of what improvement that we wanted to see has worked in our favor in this quarter. And if, as you know, the markets are so dynamic that the cost of intermediates and APIs just shoot up, and you conceptually for the business continuity plan for securing your partnerships with some of the big partners that we work, or for being a responsible company in India for making the products truly available throughout the year, you have to abide by the regulations that you are working in the environment. So this is the range that we have given. We'll be more than happy to be on the higher side of the range, but all the three aspects have worked for us in terms of top line, in terms of mix, in terms of efficiency. That is where we stand as a company. So our guidance continues to be between 25 to 27% of EBITDA margin, And for India business, what we have been talking, that we should be growing better than the market. If you see today also, the IMS figures have come for the month of July, where the market is showing 6% growth and JB continues to grow at 11%. We are the fastest growing company in top 25. For the month of July, we are now 22nd ranked company in the market. And that is what we will demonstrate over a period of time. And that is what we have demonstrated over last now 8-10 quarters. And for international market, we should grow at double digit. That is what overall the guidance that we would like to keep for the rest of the year.
Sure, very helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Poonawala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was on the India business. So we called out that Razel is having 6.5 crore kind of a monthly run rate. So if you strip that out, the base business would be growing at close to 12-13%. But that, as you mentioned, would have some impact of the price reduction what you have taken in Azmarda. So adjusting for that, could you please help us understand what would be the core brands or the earlier brands growth rate in terms of your base business?
So we don't get into specific growth business of brand, but I think as IMS reports, we have shared in our investor presentation, but let me talk about overall the way we look at business. Our chronic portfolio continues to grow at mid-teens. Our entire growth in India probably has been backed up by the entire performance that we have demonstrated for our chronic portfolio. As earlier also, Mr. Qadir, we have been commenting on the contribution that we want to take up on chronic part of the business, close to 60%, which is today close to around 54% within India business. Unfortunately, in quarter one, our portfolio in acute part of the business is more gastrointestinal dependence, where we have not seen that uptake. That is why my Rantac and Metrogyl and Sporolax have not grown at the pace that we were expecting. But the entire hard work that we are trying to do, more looking at hypertension, heart failure, lipid lowering products, that overall has helped us to demonstrate 17% growth for the quarter, and that will be the agenda going ahead.
Sure, sir. And so my second one is on the M&A strategy. So clearly when we have the visibility that we would be turning net cash this year, so going ahead, what would be the focus area? Would it be to acquire the right kind of brands which would suit in the current portfolio, or to venture out into some therapies, which would be more inclined towards?
So agenda on M&A continues to remain same. We continue to evaluate assets. We continue to look at in terms of what value will suit us in terms of being on the buying side. What we look at, 3-4 aspects. We look at if we can grow the asset at better pace as compared to where it stands today, or we can improve gross margins of the business that we are acquiring by better sourcing or looking at things from in-house manufacturing of API, and from a perspective how much synergies that we can build in terms of the therapy areas where we want to play and win. Those are the aspects that we have kept in mind for M&A, and we continue to evaluate assets. I am not running away that we are not in that process. We continue to evaluate assets, and at the right time, if we see that any opportunity is building up, we'll be more than happy to share with all of you at that time. That's what I can comment.
Yes, sir. Sure, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Tosi from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good start. Once again, one question on domestic business. What would have been your market share Azmeda in this quarter? It still is a range of 18%, or have you seen any improvement over there?
So we are trending in the region of 16 to 18%. That's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Alka Katiyar from Baroda BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to know now, how has the export formulation business been in the Russia and how has the growth been? And also if you can, you know, share some color on the South Africa business.
On the Russia front, you know, despite some of the uncertainties in the market, we have been able to hold demand. And again, you know, given our portfolio mix, we actually see peaks happening post September, October only. That's when the season is. As Lakshya mentioned, that there is a slight concern on the forex part. But apart from that, you know, for both Russia and CIS region, despite some of the uncertainties, we would say that the secondary demand is still holding up. We just need to be much more cautious about the forex part. On the South Africa front, I think we have been very clear. Nikhil also mentioned in his commentary, the focus going forward clearly is how do we kind of improve the margin profile of the business and therefore the entire thrust on driving better private mix. That continues to remain up.
Sure. And the number of launches will continue to remain 2 to 3?
For South Africa, we'll certainly be slightly more aggressive in terms of launches because, you know, we want to improve our private mix there. So certainly that's part of our pipeline strategy. For Russia, we'll be more on the conservative side.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, on the U.S. front, like how are we going to, like, you know, in going ahead in terms of launches?
Last year we did 4 filings and the next 12 to 14 months is about ensuring that, you know, the approvals for these filings come through. In addition to that, we'll be maintaining a run rate of 2 to 3 filings per year.
Sure, thank you. And just quickly on this CMO segment, so are we still in the process of launching other lozenges segment like motion sickness and all?
So, for motion sickness, for sleep disorders, anti-inflammatory lozenges, those are the, some of the lozenges for immunity, this, those are some of the products and more expanding portfolio in the world of cough and cold. Those all things are working in progress. But see, what I've been telling in the world of CDMO, this entire business, adding new partners, adding new products has got its own gestation period. But we are in a very sweet spot in terms of that we have got very good partners. And the relationship has been there for last now 2 decades plus. And now with the capacity close to 2 billion lozenges that we can manufacture annually. So that overall helps us in terms of sustaining the business for existing products, looking at doing business with the existing partners in new geographies, and also looking at adding more partners and adding more products with the existing partners. These are all things we are trying to do. And business touchwood has been close to 120 crores for the quarter. What I can say at this moment of time that our order book for quarter two is also healthy. Equally, we are waiting for some indications from our partners that should have come in probably in the month of September, which should help us to give more color on this portfolio. Also, existing portfolio, for example, we last year could conclude our relationship with Reckitt, where we had launched, where we could manufacture strepsils for them. The life cycle management where the teams at JB and Reckitt Benckiser have done, and now we are able to extend that partnership to strepsils immune. So those all things continue to happen in terms of life cycle management, new geographies, existing product life cycle management. That is helping us where we stand from a CDMO business. I think this helps overall because many of your colleagues also will be having questions in terms of where we are in the world of CDMO. So this is what I wanted to share.
Sure. Thank you. That's answered my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from OrbiMed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Actually, first question is on clarification. Asmada, you were talking about month-on-month growth still being very strong. But I'm just seeing the data. QOQ, has the volumes come down a bit? I mean, is the market resetting from that perspective?
The overall market, so what we were maintaining was the overall market when the price was reduced was at an inflection point, and therefore what you saw sequentially at that point, the growth was much more rapid. Now to maintain that same momentum going forward is not at the same rate is something which may not be possible to sustain. But overall, the market still will continue to grow. So one cannot expect that, you know, the volumes which grew in March and April at almost 30-35% on month on month, you know, that month on month increase in volumes will continue. That's what we're maintaining.
And when you see the market right now, let's say it's maybe doing about 18-20 million units per month. This was about 10 million before the expiry. So do you think still that this can potentially double, triple in next 2-3 years?
For sure. For sure.
So there is a lot of like underdiagnosis which is yet to get covered in the market.
We have always maintained that, and that was a going in thesis for this brand. The sharp rise which you saw with the price reduction itself is a reflection of what the market opportunity is really. And whatever change you have seen over the past 5 to 6 months is not happened because systemically the market has changed, right? So suddenly overnight, the diagnosis rate did not increase. It was only the affordability factor. And over the next 3 to 4 years, when you see some of the systemic changes happening in the market, which are more related to therapy shaping, diagnosis and all, you will certainly see that the market will continue to grow. And that's where we are taking the lead. So, you know, even Nikhil mentioned that, you know, our main focus is how do we really influence therapy shaping initiatives, heart failure clinics, to ensure more diagnosis. That's going to be a more, that's going to be a thrust for the next 3 to 4 years.
That's very helpful. And the second question on Sporlac, I mean, last time, of course, we indicated that probably market share is about 10% now, about 90 crore sales. How do you see this going, and is it going to be the leading brand within the probiotics?
So for obviously for us, it is a leading brand in probiotics because it is the biggest brand that we have got. So when we acquired, this was close to around 60-65 crores. Now we stand around close to 90 crores, and rightly so, the market share is 10%. And what has helped us in terms of looking at the entire strength of JB as a company from a distribution perspective, from synergy in prescriptions, from life cycle management, all those has helped us to scale up this brand to close to 90 crores. The brand, overall the portfolio, Sporlac as a portfolio for us, because there are half a dozen brands, continue to grow at mid-teens, and which will continue to happen, and overall from overall probably quarter to quarter or for this year to year, you should see us only gaining market share.
So Nikhil sir, I was mixedly mentioning leading brand within the probiotic market. Like is it bigger than Vizylac right now, or
it's bigger than
unit wise
better. And so there are the big brands in the probiotic overall probiotic market are your Econom, Enterogermina, Sporlac,
Bifilac.
I think we are almost number 3 to number 4 brand. That is where we stand.
So in terms of prescriptions and volumes, we are much bigger. Yeah. You know, but traditionally this has been a brand which has been always been much more affordable in the probiotic space. So therefore, value wise, you know, there is a difference of 1 or 2 ranks.
And among these top 5-6 brands which are in the probiotics, would you say most are covered via GP, and would have, what would be the mix, let's say RX versus OTC for most of them?
Just to clarify, we don't operate in the OTC segment, right? There may be repeat purchases of probiotics, but that's not our thrust area. The other 3 to 4 players also who are operating, every player has a different strain, and we also have our own strain. Now, we have done some life cycle management initiatives on the strain and will continue to do that. But end of the day, or across these 5 brands, there may be overlap of 1 or 2 brands where the strain is common. Otherwise, there are different strains, and these are prescription brands. We are not talking about OTC category.
And most would be GP, right? Irrespective of the strain.
Most will be?
It's a combination of GP, pediatrician. It all depends upon the strain. GP, pediatrician, gastro. We have probiotic. where we go and promote to nephrologists also, one of the brand which we have Loban, where we are, it's a 25-30 crore brand, which is basically responsible for halting the progress of chronic kidney disease, which is a 30 crore brand. So there are, depending upon the strain, the content, depending upon the indication, that is how probiotic as a product behaves in the market.
Understood. Thank you. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Wanted to understand the Russia piece. The broad understanding was over the last 2 years we would have gained a bit of more traction, assuming some of the players or the global players would have exited the market. I wanted to understand the size of business for us today, the Russia carries, and B, how do we hedge the ruble piece that's been pretty volatile over the last 3-4 years?
So we will not certainly disclose segment-wise revenues, but the business till last year also grew at a healthy rate of mid-teens. Of course, the currency played a very important role that time. We have always maintained that we are adopting a cautious approach in this market, so ensuring that whatever we have on the ground, we completely optimize those resources on the ground. Don't get into any investment mode, but get the best out of what we have, and we have been fairly successful in doing that. Yes, last 6 months particularly, the currency volatility is slightly high. We are keeping a close watch. We've kind of hedged some part of it, but yeah, we'll have to wait and watch on how the scenario unfolds. We cannot completely undermine the forex risk. However, we have a very strong hedging policy, and our exposure to that extent is not significant.
Okay, and would it be fair to assume that the exposure we had 2 years back would be similar to that level, so would it have gone up, reduced, anything that you can throw some color?
We've always been cautious on ruble hedging. So even when in 2022 the war situation happened, it did not significantly impact us. So we continue to maintain a conservative policy on hedging and we minimize the exposure.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh Bhatia from Bandhan Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. So can you help us understand a little bit more on what's happening for the Sanzyme portfolio, particularly with regards to Ubergen and Gynogen, because that is the conversation that you are having through IVF clinics, right? So can you throw some more color on that front?
So that business is closed. That business would be close to 25% of the business that we close to 20% of the business that we acquired. Fortunately, our teams are able to cover close to 1500 infertility clinics in the country, and both the products, as you mentioned, Ubergen and Gynogen, are well recognized and well accepted and trusted brands from the IV infertility specialist. So we continue to leverage that strength of Sanzyme as a company, and we continue to source that product from Sanzyme. And that is a continuity plan overall. And overall, if you look at the entire world of infertility, which is only the demand, which is only going up. So we also are growing that portfolio at mid-teens. That is what we can say. That is what we can comment on this. And
sure.
We organically at JB also have launched some supportive therapies for infertility, which is helping overall teams to go with a wider portfolio.
Sure. And what would be the volume of run rate for Rantac right now for the last for the first quarter of this year versus the first quarter of last year, financial year?
We would be flat on volumes in terms of, and I think that has been shared here in the investor presentation deck. It would be close to around 15 to 16 crores. That is where we stand as a brand monthly.
45 to 50 lakh units, that's the broad range which we are operating in. Whenever the season comes up, you know, it goes up to almost 65 to 70 lakh in terms of volumes.
Okay. And lastly, the broader price to volume split for the India market for the first quarter, the 18% growth, can you just provide the split?
So if you look at volumes, close to high single digit, that is where we stand. Price is close to 5 to 6% and new product introduction is, new product contribution is close to 2 to 3%.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Whereas market is probably flat or negative in volume for first 4-5 months.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Maulik from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I just wanted to know, have we increased our number of MRs and what is the MR productivity now in terms of the organic business also and acquired business also?
So I will talk to you in totality in terms of the productivity. Last year our productivity was around close to 6.2 lakh rupees and this year with 50-70 people that we would have added in some of the portfolios, today the MR, total number of MR count is close to around 2200. Our productivity plan that we have put in place is, the aspiration is close to 7 lakh rupees. That is where we stand.
Okay, okay. And the second question is, so are we more, I understand the go-to-market strategy which we have. So are we more focused and penetrated in the tier 2 to tier 6 towns and cities or more in the metro city? Can you throw some light on understanding on it?
This was the scenario, I think, a couple of years ago. But if you look at, if you look at today, I think the scenario would have changed. Tilting contribution increasing to metro and tier 1 part of the country, because overall when you look at the heart failure product, the result portfolio, overall what launches we have done, we are looking at how do you improve your contribution of prescription from the specialist as compared to generalist. We can't run away from generalist because with Rantac, Metrogyl, Sporolac, those are mass brands, Nicardia. But you are right, I think if a ballpark figure, it is not in black and white. Our contribution was close to 65% maybe from the tier 2, tier 3 parts of the country and 35% from the metro and tier 1. But that was 2 years ago. But today I think it will be 40% plus from metro and tier 1 part of the country. And it will be progressively, it will only increase. That is where we stand.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Dhawal from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. First one, just a clarification on the EBITDA margin guidance of 25 to 27%. Is it operating EBITDA or is it after
business? Operating EBITDA.
Okay, thank you. Second one, just wanted to know on your M&A appetite, so do we have any absolute number that we can go up to, or is there any leverage number that we have in mind and that determines what kind of M&A we could potentially go up to?
So we can go up to 1.5% of our EBITDA absolute, that is what the threshold we have kept, but it is not hard and fast that we have to go to that level. See, it all depends upon the quality of asset. And if we as a team think that we can turn around, and what you have seen, what we have been talking about, whether it is Enzyme or whether it is for heart failure pill or what we want to try to do with Razel, that if that confidence we as a team have, then we will look at in terms of how much maximum we can go to this threshold that we have kept for ourselves. That is where, and by the way, there is no pressure on us to do any M&A just for the sake of doing a acquisition. And rightly, the way GB as a company is placed, being a dominant player in the world of hypertension, heart failure, we have got a good product, progressive product in the form of Sacubitril Valsartan. We have got a product for entire range of rosuvastatin for lipid lowering agent. We have got we are into probiotic market. We are into infertility market. We are now a good dominant player in the world of pediatrics. We have got a good range of products portfolio in the field of respiratory. So we have got enough. We have got enough in terms of what we can, how at least we can grow the business in terms of what I spoke earlier. Our productivity can go up from 6.2 to 6.2 lakhs to 7 lakh rupees. But if there is any good asset available, we would not like to miss on the right valuation that we think will suit us in terms of turning around the asset and at least looking at the payback period close to 6 years.
Okay, thank you. Just one last one from my side. What is our current spend on R&D in the US and you know, what's the factor that determines it? Will it be the number of filings that we are fixated and that will determine the R&D, or is it, you know, you have some kind of revenue targets, or it's the, you know, investment that in the R&D that will be the limiting factor? So how do you decide on the investments on the US side, and what are the current R&D spends?
Our R&D spends are sub 2%, first of all. There is no determination as compared to more than US. I think what earlier was spoken is the progressive work that we are doing in terms of getting into new therapeutic segments in the world of CDMO with lozenges. That also is a part of our R&D spend. Second, I think what was spoken earlier that we continue to file 3 to 4 ANDAs every year. And third is the filings, the BE filings that we have been doing. Last year we could file around close to 10 products in our ROW market, that is the rest of the world, BGX market, which is with the business today is close to $40 million. That is our presence in Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, Southeast Asia and Middle East. And this entire model of business is distributor-led model. So last year we could file 10 products. This year also we want to file 10 more products. So that is a part of our R&D investment. It's a combination of the developmental work that we do for CDMO, the filings that we do for ROW market, and what we are trying to do in terms of filing 3 to 4 ANDAs in US every year. So our R&D spend earlier was sub 1% when we came in. Today at least it is close to 2%. Progressively it will go up. That is where we stand as a company.
Okay. Just one last one. I think you know, you made a press release that you have formed a Philippines JV. So can you throw some light on that market and what's the breakup? You know, in terms of whether it's branded and what proportion of the market is branded, what's the growth rate of the market, and how we are seeing, you know, the scale up that we'll be able to do going forward.
So, you know, we've been present in this market historically through our distributors. So we've not had a direct presence. The intent is to get into a direct presence. And the opportunity lies both on the institutional side and the B2C side, right? So that's really the opportunity we're looking for. We surely want to invest in new products in the market, build our product portfolio, and then sort of, you know, invest in a direct go-to-market model in this subsidiary. Having said this, you know, there is a regulatory time frame around getting these product registrations, you know, in place, and making that change in the go-to-market, which should happen somewhere in FY25. And our aspiration is over the next, you know, 3 to 4 years, we would at least want to get to about $4 to $5 million of revenue from this subsidiary.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Shrikant from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Nikhil, can you please call out the capacity utilization at the Lozenges facility?
Sorry, I could not get that. Sorry?
So, on the Lozenges capacity utilization, we can manufacture 18 crore lozenges. Currently, we are manufacturing and packing close to 11 crore lozenges. From a packaging standpoint, we have a capacity which will in the next 2 months go up to close to 15 crore lozenges.
Okay. And because this year we have done quite well in the lozenges business, I was wondering if we need to add any more capability or capacity next fiscal year
So certainly our focus is on debottlenecking some of our packaging lines. That does not call for a significant investment. The efforts have already been put in there. So as we speak, as you know, mentioned that we'll be reaching 14 crore packaging capacity. That over the next 12 months also will be touching close to 18 to 20 crore lozenges.
Okay. And any guidance you would like to provide for the next fiscal on the lozenges business?
Right now, we believe that, you know, the CDMO business continues to grow healthy, you know, double-digit figures. Yes, last year there was a significant spurt, but we really see a very good, healthy order book situation. As Nikhil mentioned that, you know, we'll have to watch out for how the seasonal trends kind of reflect over the next 3 to 4 months to give you a firmer view of almost next 10 to 12 months. But irrespective, this is a very important strategic area for us. Quite easily, it will, over the long term, continue to grow in healthy double-digit range. And in the next 12 to 14 months itself, that's why we have taken the effort of almost taking our manufacturing and packaging capacity to almost 18 crore lozenges.
All right. And on the domestic business, can you call out the acute chronic mix during this quarter?
Acute was close to, and just giving you a broad range, but acute was closer to 44-45 and the chronic closer to 54-55.
Okay, because I was thinking that there has been lower chronic, the chronic business has done well. So I was just wondering if there was any positive impact because chronic has done well and at the same time the acute has seen a slight dip in the contribution. So is that right assumption to make, Hansi?
That's all, yeah. So overall, our I think chronic contribution last year was close to 53%.
53, yeah, and that's 100.
That is where we. That is what was. I think what Kunal spoke was our chronic contribution should be close to 54-55%, and acute contribution would be close to 45%.
Understood. And last question. Because we are putting a significant focus on the chronic business. So what will be our target in 2 to 3 years' time? Where do we see the acute chronic mix heading to?
So this I spoke earlier, our contribution of chronic business, we want to take it to 60%.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rahul from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, in the domestic business, apart from Sporlac, do you see any big pricing differential between your brands and competition? And are there any efforts to narrow this pricing gap versus competition?
Rahul, even if there is a pricing difference, for all the scheduled products, you cannot go beyond 10% range, right? So... You know, while there is a pricing difference for Sporlac, the maximum increase you can take from a price standpoint is not beyond 10.
Okay. Sure, sir. And apart from Sporlac, none of your other brands would have a meaningful discount versus competition.
So apart from that, it's we are pretty much on parity with respect to our other.
Sure, sir. And sir, some of your peers have called out the NLEM price cut impact during this quarter. So did we also our NLEM exposure has significantly come down to Stantec getting out of price control, but did NLEM price cuts impact our growth as well on the India business this quarter?
There is a very marginal impact on Metrogyl, very, very marginal. Nothing to kind of comment on.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So first of all, let me thank all of you for coming for the call today and at least patiently listening to our commentary and we were more than happy to at least take your questions and give the answers in the capacity that we could. Overall, once again, reiterating that our guidance going ahead for the next 3 quarters should be what we have spoken earlier is beating overall India pharma market performance by 300 to 400 bps. And that is what we could demonstrate in the month of July also. What I shared earlier, the IMS figures that we have demonstrated for last 4 months and which will continue. Our entire focus within India would be how to continue to work on the theme of making big brands bigger, particularly in chronic part of the business, and aspire to take that contribution to 60%. More than happy in terms of the portfolio that we have acquired and the new brands that we have built is only helping us to not improve our ranking in value, but also improving our ranking in prescriptions. That is what we fundamentally believe, that how do you build your business which is fundamentally strong. This was on India. International, the focus will continue to be on the CDMO business, continuously working with our partners and equally looking at what opportunities we can explore in the BGX market. Also, as stated earlier, South Africa this year, the entire aspect of transformation of business, looking at how we can improve our contribution from private market, will happen over a period of time. So international business growing at touching double digit growth, and India market beating IPM by 300 to 400 bits, and the margin guidance that we have stated earlier also will be between 25 to 27%. That is where we stand as a company, and committed overall, not only in India but globally, to deliver quality medicines which comes from the house of JB. Thank you all once again for coming for today's conference call, and we'll continue to touch base with you in coming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of JB Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.